Once upon a time. My life is a long childhood, sang the young women of Rochefort in a working version of their famous song. This is also what Jacques Demy thought about his own life. His wonderment before the puppet shows to which his mother took him led to the vocation, at a very young age, of cinema seen as a dream or magical toy. For the little Jaco of Nantes, everything started from childhood, and all his art contributed to prolonging it. In the family attic, fitted out as a studio, he painted stories on strips of celluloid, also shooting frame by frame with an amateur movie camera to animate his cardboard characters. Alone, and like a craftsman, he invented worlds for himself, small-scale models of the fantasies to come. Once he had grown up, Demy would like the sequence-length shot, whose duration helped in creating a seamless world. He would imagine bringing back characters and actors from film to film, thus dreaming his oeuvre like a village and a world, a great uninterrupted fiction, constantly run through with influences and returns. He would shoot in the street, but as a painter of reality, would also intervene on the motif, the large flats of colors on the facades of the houses in Rochefort, the macadam, smoothed expressly for Gene Kelly's dance, the marvelous, from the Latin mirabilia, astonishing, admirable things, meets an intimate need to transfigure reality, doubtless to protect himself from it, and to substitute a desirable world for it. You must believe in your dreams. A real fairy tale, exclaims one of the characters in Lola. And why not? Anything can always happen. It suffices to believe in one's luck, in the magical power of music, fairies, and love. Like Lola, precisely, who, like a sleeping beauty, awaits the return of her Prince Charming. Like Delphine in Young Girls, who believes in the predestination of individuals, and hopes for an amorous encounter in the streets of Rochefort, and that all will end well. Or else Donkey Skin, who sings, "If a Prince Charming does not come to take me away, I swear here that I shall go find him myself." Be amazed by nothing. To believe is also not to be amazed by anything, either finding oneself in hell or that a donkey excretes gold like a slot machine. Nor is there anything amazing in the fact that characters sing to speak. No more so than a man getting pregnant. At most, his doctor will tell him that it's not serious, it's disconcerting. What is ordinarily extraordinary must not astonish more than it should. In the universe of the marvelous, everything is justified all the better, since one is not obliged to provide too many explanations. And even if the entourage sometimes remains incredulous or critical. Singing, a banal marvelous. Not being amazed. It happens that people speak in alexandrines as if it were nothing. And like dancing that comes naturally in walking, singing creates no break. Hollywood musicals made a number out of it, a remarkable moment apart. According to Demy, singing integrates more into daily life and customary situations, to the point of becoming the language itself. All the more so in that Michel Legrand's music is close to the rhythm of spoken language and human breathing. Amazing marvelous that can attain a certain form of realism. Passages. The marvelous presupposes a passage, a bridge between two worlds, in the image of the transporter bridge that appears in the titles of A Room in Town and transports the fairy ground people at the beginning of The Young Girls of Rochefort. Better than an overly prosaic road bridge, the transporter bridge moves its passengers in the air, as if suspended and flying. The fairground people entering Rochefort at the beginning of the film and leaving at the end mark the intrusion of the marvelous in the everyday world. They bring songs, dances, and colors to a gloomy daily life. The marvelous is dreamt like an alternative life. Each time, it is a crossing that allows access to the marvelous, whether it be multicolored or bicolored, like the realm of the dead. Threats. Although it creates a protected space apart, the marvelous does not always shelter from misfortune, and sometimes the return of the so-called real world is all the harsher for having been kept at bay. The war in Algeria that separates those who love each other in the umbrellas of Cherbourg, the insistent presence of the Vietnam War in Model Shop, labor strikes and confrontations in A Room in Town, or the sudden news on the page of crime stories of a woman hacked into pieces. Sometimes that is due to a cloud in a blue sky, or to a mood, so that the dream becomes tarnished and the fete veers to masquerade. It is Genevieve refusing to join in the carnival time celebrations in the streets of Cherbourg. "I find these people ridiculous," she says. "It is the snow falling at the end of the umbrellas and covering the lovely decor of a dead love with a shroud. Sad fete." Dressing up. The threat does not always come from outside, but from the marvelous itself, in which certain characters live, retreat, victims of prefabricated dreams of love, built up to the point of sham. The twin sisters' wigs, the bleached hair of the painter in The Young Girls of Rochefort, and Jackie in Bay of Angels, Lola's boasting, "Touch me, I washed my hair, you'd say it was silk." Marvelous finery or flashy signals. Signs of femininity are exhibited and exacerbated, and from disguise or jewels, the stage costumes of Lola and the young girls, donkey skins, weather gown, we go to dressing up, glitter, heavy eye makeup, feather boa, or garish lipstick. Sometimes the handsome uniform completely sucks out the person's lifeblood. Genevieve's mink, at the end of Umbrellas, imprisons her in her new status as a married, kept woman. Edith will manage to twist the use in A Room in Town, streetwalking naked under her fur coat. And the dead donkey skin with which the princess covers herself will become a dazzling gown at court. Black Behind Pink. The earliest versions of the scripts written by Demy are striking for their blackness, progressively watered down or concealed by successive rewritings. One of the very first versions of The Young Girls of Rochefort imagined the painter crushed by the fairground people's lorry. The kingdom of donkey skin was to have been inhabited by hanged men, skeletons, and wandering plague victims. And Guy was supposed to have returned in Young Girls, having closed his garage following the death of his wife. The earliest versions of the songs are also cruder. That of the painter in Young Girls gushed with exuberant sensuality. The angels of the night, magic spells of the dream, crowned with sun will flood her breasts. From her mouth blood will burst her lips, where fleshy desire will spring forth by night. And donkey skin, "Will you wait for me to be dead, having lived the current climate?" Referring to Genevieve's highly moving confession in Umbrellas. "I, who would have died for him, why am I not dead?" A Room in Town assumes blackness and exhibits it. A violent death, two suicides, garish, dirty colors. The film's whole aesthetic turns upside down the marvelous, often so colorful in Demy's films, to speak the obligatory blackness without a mask, as in Grimm's fairy tales that are, granted, often naive and pleasant, but also threatening, to produce a lasting effect on the child who will become a spectator.